Jesus, I need you. I'm not going to trust my preparation. I'm going to rely on you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me time to prepare. Thank you that you've equipped me for this moment. But I trust not my preparation. I trust you, Holy Spirit. So lead me and guide me that we will be filled, that our cups will be just filled afresh this morning, Lord. Amen. Let's deal with the most obvious thing. I have a bag on my back. And you don't know it, but all of you have a bag. Say, I have a bag. Brian, I have a bag. Yes, we all have a bag that we carry into eternity. So I'm just going to lay that there. You all have a bag that you are carrying into eternity with you. We'll discuss now what is in that bag, but you have a bag. So we're continuing with Sermon on the Mount. It is important that we are founded on a rock. It's the main idea, and Jesus is speaking to the Jews, but also to us. And we finished chapter 5, I think 2 weeks ago, and Matthew 5 describes the characteristics of God, of God's new people, and God's view of true righteousness. If you can just go to the first slide. So it speaks of the Beatitudes. You can go to the next one. It says, the state of being blessed is in who we are, not in what we do. Yes, this is exactly how I planned this. Exactly. Anyway, so Matthew 5, it's about the characteristics of the new people. And what does God see as righteousness? He speaks of the Beatitudes, blessed are, but it's not about what we're doing, it's about who we are. And then in our being, we impact the world around us. And the purpose, and then Jesus goes at the end of chapter 5, he speaks of, you say murder, but I say don't be angry. So he's telling us that obedience was never the purpose of the law. Holiness is the purpose of the law. God wants us to be like him. Not to do. Be like me. So that is why the law has been given to us. And we are the new Israelites who have circumcised hearts. Jesus is speaking to Jews, but we, those who have been saved, are now the new Israelites, and we have circumcised hearts. But under this new, can I just say, do you know, understand the new Israelite? Okay, the Israelite was God's initial people that he chose, but we are the Gentiles who have now been taken into the fold. We've been adopted into his family. So we are now Israelites, not by birth, but by adoption. So we are now the new Israelites. And new Israelites have certain sureties. Do you know what the word surety is? Something you can bank on. You can hold on to it and say, this will not fail. This will hold forever. And these five sureties, I'm going to name you. By grace, you have been saved through faith. It's the first surety. Your salvation is by grace, not by works. It's a gift of God. Second, we have been justified by faith. We are in right standing. God is no longer angry at us, or we are clean, justified. Our debt has been paid. God has adopted us, we've just said that, into His own family. So we're no longer orphans, we are sons and daughters. The fourth one, He has made us accepted. Like we don't need acceptance, we don't need to get acceptance from a man or from a job or from a thing that's outside of us. Our acceptance now lies in God giving us that. And the fifth one, our names are in the book of life. Can I just hear a hallelujah? That's good news. Those are five good things. If you call those sureties, just show your hands. Because the hand is actually very important this morning. Just go to the next. Another one. There, look at that hand. I put that there. It looked much better on my screen. But the hand is important. Like these five things, by grace you've been saved, justified, adopted, accepted, and book of life. Hold it in your hand, Those things you can hold in your hand as sureties. They will not pass away. They will not fade. They will not become different. So make a fist for me like you're holding something in your hand. Great. It's actually important because God has something in His hand. We hold this, but God has something in His hand. And now that we are sons and daughters of heaven, whom have grabbed hold of these sureties, what process is God busy with till we die? Before you go, who knows the process that God is busy with until we die? Is there another answer? Yes. Sanctification, holiness, making us more like Him. Anybody else? No, salvation has already been won. That is exactly what's going to come. But we have been saved. We are new Israelites. And then there's a process until we die. Like between being a new Israelite and dying, God is making us holy, sanctifying us, cleansing us, purifying us, that we might look like Him. So that when we are in heaven, we recognize, I want to be here because I've been made holy. If God calls us to be His own, we're in heaven, there's no shadow, there's no doubt, there's no fear. Does He not want that for us now? Therefore, He wants to purify us, to make us holy, that we will resemble Him. And sanctification, unfortunately, requires two things. Inspiration and perspiration. Inspiration is not our work, but it comes from the Spirit. We are inspired. Because if we are not inspired, our works will be dead works. Then our works will transpire to other things. But inspiration, we need to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it gets worked out through perspiration. We battle. This morning, like in intercession, people are experiencing a battle. They are taking shots. Christelle is experiencing some significant battles in her life. But you have to work it out. Unfortunately, we can't separate this fallen world and us. God wants us to be in it and yet separate. I forget, Letitia gave a teaching from Bible school, and she just so greatly explained that we are citizens of heaven. Even though we are here, we are meant to live like those in heaven. We are meant to resemble what's going on in heaven in our hearts. The king is there. Do we live like he's that we are also there? Anyway, so Philippians 2 verse 12 to 13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation. Work out your own salvation. Not someone else's salvation. Not my wife's salvation. I'm not meant to tell her how to live or what to do. There's a Holy Spirit in her. There is a Bible by which she can be confronted. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that sounds terrible. Unfortunately, that doesn't sound pleasant. But yet we've spoken that God will not leave us nor forsake us. He is with us till the end, equipping us, strengthening us. For it is God who works in you. Not Retief. Not the internet. Not however good the message is you receive. It is God who must work in you. No one else can do this. No one else can convince you. We don't need an argument to follow Jesus. We need a person. You need to meet with him again, afresh, every morning. Is he beautiful to you? Do you delight in him? So why do we need to work out our salvation when works don't save us? We have it in our hand. We've just said we are saved by grace through faith. That's our first surety. So why must I do stuff if I'm lacquer with God? If I'm good, if we are righteous, he's accepted me, nothing I can do can change these sure things. Why must I do stuff? Because works is the evidence. Works is the fruit of the tree. Works is the evidence of our salvation. Love being fulfilled. I know my wife loves me, not when she tells me that, when she shows me that. It requires a working out. So our salvation, although it's established, that salvation will grow fruit. So now we on to Matthew 6. And Jesus is, my word, I spent so much time on these things, I promise you. Anyway, so Jesus, when he speaks to that, when we start on chapter 6, he's speaking to the Jews who have taken oral tradition as the standard. Because you see in the end of chapter 5, he says, you have heard it been said. You have heard it said. He did not say, for it is written. Was it not strange to you that he said, for it's written, but he said, for you have heard that it was said, because they've got the Jewish, I've got like, it's called a Mishnah. It's a book of rabbi sayings. And that became a standard. And part of this standard was your works can earn you good points. Works, if you do the works enough, you can do enough works, if you do the good things, you are right with God. You are being made righteous by your own works. And Jesus is addressing this to the Jews. He's already told them, do not follow the Pharisees, because they do one thing, but on the inside, there's something else going on. So I just want to read Matthew 6, verse 1 to 4. And he says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I'm just going to focus on just two areas. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others. And then so that your giving may be in secret at the end, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What is the, just if you look at that, just go back. Yeah. What is the most obvious thing, if you look at those four verses, or what is the, maybe I shouldn't say obvious thing, but what do you think is the key thing that God is addressing here? Bernard, when you look at those four verses. Okay. No, I'm just asking. Like, if you look at those four verses, what? The heart. Okay. Who else? Okay. Yes. For me, practice is implied here, because it's not saying, like, if you look here, he says, so when you give, but when you give, it's not if you give. He's addressing a practice. You have done this continuously and over and over. He's addressing a way of doing that gets you something. He's addressing practice. And the Israelites practiced doing good. But unfortunately, they had an ulterior motive. They disconnected the activity from God, because it became a weekly thing. The word righteousness there relates to almsgiving, like feeding of the poor. It's a place of those who do not have weekly. They would give alms, but it was to get something. But we all know, I used to think you can fake it till you make it, but unfortunately, we can't fake it till we make it in the kingdom. Because it's clear, God says that I look at why you give. No matter how often you do it, no matter how good your practice is, no matter how successful your practice is. Very often we can look at the fruit of something we've done and be fooled by that. But also there's the other side where we fail to do something. Where we will rather wait. No, I have not heard from God to do this. I'll wait till I get confirmation from a guy on the street who has blue jeans and red hair. Then I will do this thing. But until that time, no. I need confirmation. I need 3 words, prophetic words over me to give me the freedom to practice righteousness. But there's a passage in Daniel where Daniel is speaking to a wicked king. In Daniel 4 verse 27, he says, "Therefore, O pagan king," he doesn't say, but I'm just telling you who this king is, "let my counsel be acceptable to you." So Daniel is addressing the king's behavior, because at that time, the king was very proud upon what he has done, how strong he is, how powerful he is. And he says, "Break off," that breaking off is relates to Exodus 32 verse 2, it says, "Break off with old habits. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness. And break off your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may be perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity." Daniel is speaking to a pagan king who doesn't follow God, and he's instructing him, do righteousness. Not that the doing will fix the king, but the doing will open the king's eyes to what is really going on. There's injustices in his kingdom that he does not aware of. If he practiced righteousness, he would see the injustice, that he's not really the smart king that he really is, that he think he is. And therefore, when we are hesitant to practice righteousness, I want to submit to you that we can submit the flesh to do what the Father pleases. And in that process, learn about our heart and His. Not all things have to feel special. But God, when we practice what we know the Father delights in, He will show us something about our heart and His heart. I think for me, just go to the next slide. The strange thing, oh my word, I should not turn around. I don't want to go about this. Anyway, if you only knew, for me the most obvious thing about God is that He has given us a new spirit. This new spirit wants to please Him, and because we are now the sureties of we are saved, we've been accepted, we have been adopted, we are right with God, and we are eternal, we would want to do these things now. But not only does He move us to want to do those things, He says, "I will reward you for doing the things that I want you to do." Is that just me, or is that pretty amazing? He will reward you for doing the things that He will cause you to do. Are you willing to be caused? Are you willing to move? Just Ezekiel 11, verse 19 to 22. He will give us a singleness of heart and puts a new spirit within us. Why? So that we might follow His statutes, keep His ordinances, and practice them. Then they will be my people, and I will be their God. He does that, and He wants to reward us. He's the one who does all of it. But a willing vessel. You can either be willing or unwilling. But it's clear that God rewards faithfulness, not fruitfulness. What has He called you to do? What is His word saying? Who is this God? How does He feel about the orphans, the widows? How does he feel about injustice? How does he feel about just your father who abused you? How does he feel about the injustice you experienced at work? How does he feel about that? How does he feel about the lost, your neighbor, who you've seen countless times? How does he feel about him? And like I've said, we've start as new Israelites, and there's an end. And in between, we're busy with sanctification. But our sanctification comes in here. I will explain. This bag is full of what you have done and what you have said, what you have failed to do and failed to have said. God sees it all. And there's two judgments upon which this bag will be opened. Oh, actually, there's only one judgment, but there will be two judgments. And the one is the believer's judgment at the seat of Christ. It's in Romans 14, verse 10 to 12. And there the believers will be judged, and we will receive our rewards. That is the place where we will be rewarded for doing the things God will cause us to do. And then there's the unbeliever's judgment, but we're not going to focus on that this morning. And at this judgment seat of Christ, there will be a reckoning. You can go to the next slide. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." He's speaking to believers. "And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." He says, "I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one according to your works." At other places it says, all that we have said will be before him. All that we've built upon. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 13 to 15 says, "Each man's work will become evident for the day, the judgment day. We'll show it because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And if any man's work which he has built upon remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt up, he shall suffer loss, but not himself." It's not there. But it says he will not himself be lost, but only his works. So all that we are carrying, all that we are doing, you're taking this bag with you. And God will look at this. What have I called you to do? Have you done what the Father called you, asked you to do? But remember, we have a surety, right? Justified, accepted, adopted, grace, and name and book of life. These things are in our hand. So when we come here, these things are still true. God has accepted us. We are well loved. Our Father is pleased with us. Our identity has not changed. So we have these sureties. These sureties is still standing when we are being judged. However, the judgment will have to come. And it doesn't change our identity because God has to be judged, just. But in this process of God judging, and like we have looked at our hand, what is in God's hand? There's scriptures to confirm these things, but I'm not going to Anyways, there's other focus that I want to be on. But in God's hands is the promise of crowns, it says of victory. It speaks of heavenly treasures. It speaks of accolades or commendations. Those are well done, good and faithful servant. It promises to overcomers. Specific people have been set aside for specific trials. And God will give them a specific reward. And then you have the promise of special responsibilities and authority of Lord's possessions. These are the things that God is holding in His hand. We're sitting with sureties. On this side, God has a reward of crowns, heavenly treasures, accolades for overcomers, special responsibilities. And His hand is this. It's certain. This is as sure as our sureties. Both of these things are true. The only thing that is between us receiving these other sureties is our works of righteousness. But unlike the Jews who felt they could gain something by it, we've already gained what they wanted. We're already there. Our sureties are set. But the question is, who wants the rewards? Can I see some hands? Who would like a crown? Paul speaks of there's 5 different crowns. I don't know. Like I say, this is just the rewards by default. Paul spoke of 5 different crowns that God will give him. It's going to be glorious. There's so much excitement in that place of judgment. Because it will be revealed that God has been established on earth. Like doing what He says, being a heaven citizen and doing what He says brings the focus on God. And then we are rewarded for that. So in our hand, we hold on to 5 sureties, and God's hand are 5 promises as rewards for us. That's very good news. And if there's one thing that I want you to leave, is to remember that. Because in my just praying for this, like I was confronted just by my own inconsistencies. Because I speak a different way to my daughters here than I do at home. So I'm more interested in what you think of me, because otherwise I would speak the same way. I drive differently. So I know if there's a new guy that I know, like that I want like to come to Christ, or there's something, I would drive differently than I would drive on my own. I just do. I'm economical with the truth. I don't think I will ever forget this word that Retief said. He said, we are economical with the truth. We use it in the way that will benefit us the most. Like if my boss asks me, Pietri, are you done with your work? There's a very simple binary answer. Yes or no. But what I will say is, this still has to be done, and then I'm going to do that. I'm economical with the truth. I'm unwilling. I look for my own benefit in things. I want to benefit myself. I want to. Like I'm more interested in the temporary reward. My bag. Like I was convicted of, what will my bag look like? If I miss the mark on these very little things, how will I not miss the mark on the big things that God asks of me? Because The sanctification is a process, it's like a muscle. You're growing in godliness. Our capacity of 5 years ago is no longer our capacity now because God has grown you. So I just want to honor Marianka. She might not like this, but God is growing her capacity because she's under severe pressure. 2 months or 3 months ago, it would have just gone pear-shaped. But she's looking at these pressures and still seeing God in them. God is growing your capacity, Marianka. It might not be pleasant, but He is growing your capacity. And so is practicing of righteousness. Doing good, doing the Father's work, is a muscle. It's a growing thing. We don't become Joyce Meyer Ministries tomorrow. Joyce Meyer was obedient many years ago when nobody looked. She was obedient over and over at the cost of herself, a testimony she shared of money just went and not having for, I think, a few years. They just didn't have money. But she was obedient because this is what God called her to do, to go and learn. We shouldn't look at fruitfulness. This is why God says He doesn't reward fruitfulness, He rewards faithfulness. But faithfulness is grown. In 1 Corinthians, it speaks of the type of works that we do that's on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. And the fire comes, but it speaks of beautiful emeralds retaining. And those things that are not that dead works, even though we were His sons, they were like hay and wood, and they're destroyed by the fire. But it speaks of, it speaks of this precious stones that's built on top of Christ if we do His works. And, I don't want to miss, actually, by going on with my message too much, because there's other things that I want to do. But Matthew 6, it starts with us to be careful. God wants us to be, like just what I shared with regards to Elaine. All those things, there are these moments where we do things for our benefit, or we are not transparent like we should. And we need to be careful. We need to constantly evaluate, why am I doing this, Pietri? Why do I do things in a certain way? Why do I want this specific thing from my daughter? Is it because I'm willing to be pliable? Because that's most probably it. I want my children. Like, kids are great when they're four and older. before four, they're not really that functional. But that's a problem. As soon as having now another baby, this baby doesn't want its nappy changed. It doesn't. It doesn't care what I think. But I'm the one who gets angry and angry at who? Who am I angry at? It's because I'm unwilling to be molded. I need to constantly be careful. Why am I doing these things? 1 Kings 8 verse 61 says, "And may your hearts be fully committed, completely faithful, wholly true, fully devoted to the Lord our God, to live by His decrees and obey His commands." Guys, if we are fully committed and completely faithful and wholly true and fully devoted, then when He asks of us, would we say no? Or would we say yes first? I don't know how. I'm afraid. I might be scared. This doesn't make any sense. But yes, first. But God wants our heart. Because He looks at the heart before the hand. Just want to speak about something quickly about practicing righteousness. Our dead works, like our works, that is not from faith. The reason in this bag, I have a lot of them that will burn up. That might seem good. But if faith is not involved in your works, they are dead works. If I think about giving my wife flowers and then go to her, I have thought about giving you flowers. I will receive no reward from my wife. If God speaks something into your heart and you have thought about it, but don't do it, it doesn't exist. It's no longer there. Intentions, God doesn't even speak of intentions. Intentions doesn't reach this place. Only works. But even if you do good works, I have many people that come to my house to look for food. And it challenges you because they are not bound to my time or to our rosters in our household. But that can become very simple. Just make food. Yeah, Chris. And I found myself, like literally even, I know when the bell rings. So when that bell rings, I'm already busy with the food just so that I can give him, because Chris usually has got like a million stories and the clue. But so often, like I can rush through that and it will have no value because I didn't include faith in it. Like I say, my hand might be there. It might look good. But if faith was not part of this, it's a dead work. Like, do I question my motive? Do I give and then, yes, I'm free to give? Or am I more irritated to give? Because if I'm irritated to give, then maybe God wants to maybe deal with that irritation. Now, I think I've discussed what is eternal works. I was just, Revelation 2 verse 23 says, I am He who searches the minds and hearts and will give to each according to your works. He doesn't look at my hand. He looks at the hand and the heart and the mind. He wants me to love all of Him. Like He says, love the God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your body. He wants all of this involved. And then He says, I've got crowns. I've got rewards. A handful. Just all. Just make your faith part of your hands and your heart. But I want to encourage you, these works are not too difficult for you. Nick, the works that He has called you for are not too difficult for you. Wayne, the works He has called you for are not too difficult for you. Because He says it in Ephesians 2 verse 10, He says, we are the workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good deeds, which Christ has prepared for beforehand that we should walk in them. Not might, not consider, we should walk in them because that is what we've been made for. Die driver waarmee jy drive, Wayne, gebruik jy nie om te pad nie. You've been made for these works. so that all these rewards that God has for us, that's available, we can walk in them. We can excitedly be, we can be confident then, going to that judgment seat, knowing that we are accepted by grace, faith. We've there. The sureties are there, but a bold confidence. We're going to get rewards for things He has caused us to do. And I want to say to you, we've seen now it's we are meant for them. But you are the light this world needs to see. It says, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Who is this light? Tim? Is it you? Yes. It is you. You are the light of the world, it says in Matthew 5:14. Richard, you are the light that will draw people to Christ, to God. Because it says, do not let men see what you do, but that the glory might come to God. It speaks in that the two things we should do in front of men is testify and shine your light before men. That glory might come to Jesus. But you are the light, Bernard. No one else. Wayne, you are the light. You are the light. You are the light of the world that shines through the works. Not your task. Remember, it's not your hand. It's not the work that you're doing. It's the person doing the work that shines the light on God. Not the hand. It is the whole person that shines the light on God. I had such high hopes. Man, it's so important that we leave here doing, not wanting to do something, but like I have one job this morning. I had one job. To ensure that you know that doing stuff doesn't change these sureties. That the stuff that you will be doing, that God wants to reward you. He's desperate. It's there. It's sure. But that we do. That we say, yes, God, I want to do. Show me. Because so often we leave out, we leave here and then Sunday lunch come and Monday and then it's work. Then we have forgotten that there's works of righteousness God wants me to do, that my bag might become full, that I have confidence when I come here, yes, Lord, I can receive. Who knows what these type of works looks like? Like just, if I now ask you, what is a godly work that you can do? Do, like just raise your hand if you know of one now that you can do. Like, does it make sense what I just asked? But does that shine a light on God? Yeah, it can. Okay, he said, serve his wife. But how is it different than other than any other day? Amen. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if this is going to work now. I don't have time. But this is the most important thing, is that we leave here having one thing to do in this week. And when I look at Jesus, he said he was called to loose the bonds of injustice. Undo the thongs of yoke, let the oppression go free, to break every yoke, proclaim good news. Serve wife. Amen. Write that down. That was actually part of the, this is part of the service. That's why I want to ask you. Like, if you don't have examples, like Jesus went, proclaimed good news. How difficult is it to proclaim good news? Bronwyn, have you proclaimed good news before? Yes. There's a lot of space between those things. I don't know if it's going to be. But anyway. Proclaim freedom for prisoners, people who are in bondage. Do any of you have friends that are in bondage? Can you show me hands? Who has got friends that are in bondage? Would you like to pray for your friend that is in bondage? Put that up. Praying for friends in bondage. Pray for your boss. Will you do that in person? I'll ask it. Boldness. That's a work that will put the focus squarely on Jesus. Because it will cost him. There's a slide that's not here. Don't show it. I'm just going to read it. Something that God just laid on my heart. I'm afraid, that's me just speaking here. I'm afraid that when I give at the cost of myself, the condition of my faith will be exposed. When God calls me to do something that I really don't want to do, like I'm afraid, that's why I'm afraid when, to be too honest here, if I say, yes, God, just tell me the next thing to do, it will expose my faith. Go back to that thing. I need to go back, sorry. I can't leave here, guys. If you're angry with me, come and deal with me after the message. I'm open to that, but we can't leave here not. Just keep it there, Ryan. There's general acts of kindness. Who knows somebody would enjoy kindness? Just, can I see a show of hands? Yes. Can we just say acts of kindness there? Then there's specific things. Bianca, there's only things Bianca can do that Pietri cannot do. What are those things? Okay. Think of Nehemiah. There's only Nehemiah that could rebuild the wall. Not you or I have been called for that. So there's specific things that Bronwyn, that Brian, that Ralph, that Karen can, only Karen do. But then there's general ones that we all can do. Faith. By faith we can do that and then get a reward. Without having difficult conversations. Do you have clothes? Who here have clothes that they have not worn in 2 years? In your cupboard. Can I see hands? What is it doing there? 2 years is a very long time to be at another weight. Ask me. It's a long time then to want to still wear those things. Give clothes to the needy. Can we just agree that that is something we can do? Put that there, please. Sick. Like, hungry. Who have had extra food in your house? And threw it away. Give my food to someone. God, it can be a reward-winning thing. That which you have extra, ask God, show me that by faith I might give something, you've gaining a reward in heaven. It's there. It is simple. It is it's in your grasp to do the very works. Okay. I'm not sorry. I'm here for this reason, unfortunately. Who would like to have a godly confidence and expectation at the judgment seat of Christ? Can I just see hands? Who would like a godly confidence and expectation at the judgment seat of Christ? Okay, these hands just went up. Unfortunately, I'm going to ask you something again. Who's willing to start this week? Okay. So go back to that other thing. That thing. Okay. For each of those hands that just went up, we need to be. When I tell my wife I love her, she loves it more when it comes with flowers. She loves it more when I take the kids and she has got some peace and quiet. My words and my actions need to combine. We've just said we want confidence at the judgment seat. Get confidence by saying, I want to do one of those things this week. Go back to that list, please. Sorry, Ryan, I'm throwing you. Okay. Who will serve their wife this week? The reason why I ask this, the spouse. Okay, that's a very deep one. Who will serve their spouse at the cost of themselves this week? Okay, you're raising your hand. Next Sunday is going to be testimony week. Like, Retief doesn't know it yet. I'm this is fun, but it's not funny. I'm serious, guys. If we do not get this, we are not the right tree we think we are. Guys, the apple tree will produce apples. Someone who trains for the comrades runs every day to do the comrades. So when I'm asking you these things and you're putting your hand up, like I'm literally going to ask Retief, we want time for testimonies on Sunday. So I'm now going to ask, who will proclaim good news to somebody over this week? So I'll put my hand up because I will do that. So we've got, who will proclaim freedom for the prisoners? Who's got somebody that's in bondage? That is like, will you speak a word over that person? Like, just choose one. Like, I know, like, I don't want to put a burden on you. But do one that we can look forward to sharing that. Like, praying for a friend in bondage, I think it's the same thing. Pray for boldness. No, that's not a work. Acts of kindness. We said, is there somebody at work who will do an act of kindness for somebody at work? Come on. Okay, Karen, you're excused. That's great. Karen doesn't have a work to the people, to the parents, so she doesn't have to do this one. Can I do one for work? Okay. I can, but anyway. Okay. I'll do those two things. I'll proclaim good news to somebody and do an act of kindness. Okay. We're not going to do the specific ones. Clothes to the needy. Who's willing to do that? Who's willing to look into their cupboard for clothes that are older than 2 years? Just who's willing to go and look in there and allow God to say, I want this. that I might bless somebody. Who's willing to do that? Yes. But I know of clothes as well that have been lying there for a special day. But the special day has not happened. Anyway. The night food. Yeah, anyway. So, this is my challenge to you. Paul, what have you put your hand up? Have you put your hand up for something? Okay, well, you're going to tell about us about that on Sunday. That, unfortunately, it's Testimony Sunday. Retief doesn't know about it yet, but it will be Testimony Sunday. That is true. But we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So let's testify, and then we can forget about it. Amen. Okay. I'm just going to pray. Lord, it's so easy to look like a Christian and not fulfill the requirements of the law of love, Lord. God, I was so confronted, Lord, when you asked me, Lord, what is the difference between you and Tabiso and Stephen and Nathan, your neighbors? How will the world know that you are my son? God, I want to practice righteousness. I want to grow in this discipline, Lord, because it's a discipline where we allow you to lead us. And I pray, Lord, that you will lead us this week as we've raised up our hand. Lord, I pray, Lord, that I will proclaim the good news and do an act of kindness for someone at work, Lord. Come and speak to your people, God. I cannot convict them, Lord. You can. You know their hearts, Lord, and you know what they've agreed to, Lord. Change us, Lord. We want to be like you, Jesus. Amen.